Praise the Lord. We can face tomorrow. We can face whatever this life throws at us because he does indeed live. Let me invite you this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with us, if you would, please, to John chapter number 20. John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. And we will, for our purposes this morning, look at the final two verses of John chapter number 20. And the Bible says this in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought as we begin to look through the Gospel of John at Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, now we just again thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word to see truths that might help us and encourage us to be the Christian in the church you'd have us to be. And now, Father, we just pray this morning you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May this message be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Father, this morning, if there be one this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, if they don't know Jesus, the Son of God, we pray, Lord, they not leave this place without getting that settled, 100% sure that heaven's their home and that Christ is their Savior, and that their sins are forgiven. And now, Father, just help me to say that which needs to be said. Help me to refrain from that which does not need to be said. And Father, for all shall do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we see here in John chapter number 20, especially verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe. If you're anything like me, I enjoy sports. I enjoy specifically of the four major sports between basketball and hockey and baseball and football. I enjoy baseball and football among those four the most. But, you know, the morning after a game, whether it be a college football game, whether it be an NFL game, a Major League Baseball game, you'll turn on any number of sports channels, ESPN or your local sports station or whatever the case may be. And the sports media will begin to present to us multiple commentaries on the game. I mean, you can turn to ESPN and you'll have a group of people talking about the game. Turn to ESPN too, you'll have another group talking about the game, and then you'll turn on, you know, Spectrum. They'll have people talking about the game, and then you turn on Channel 6 or Channel 4 or whatever the case may be. They'll be talking about the game, and, you know, I got to thinking at some point, well, why so many? Why on, aside from the fact, forget about for a minute that it just, you know, it makes money, and, you know, that's where people put their money and all the rest, but why so many? Well, one reason is to attempt to satisfy the thirst that fans of that particular sport, fans of that particular game, often have to rehearse and replay what they already know. I mean, they watch the game, but now they want to go back and look at the replay, and they want to be kind of the, you know, the Monday morning quarterback and say, well, if I was the coach or if I was the manager, Or if I was that player, here's what I would have done. And, I'm the same way. You know, I'll be sitting there watching the game and something will go wrong and I'll yell at the TV. And Mandy is so quick to point out, honey, they can't hear you. And the truth is, Warren, that's the truth. They can't hear us no matter how much we yell at the screen or the TV or whatever the case may be. But deeper than that, each writer, each commentator, what they will usually do is typically they will focus on a different aspect of the game. For instance, one may write about the team's defense and talk about the team's defense. One might write about the team's offense or talk about the team's offense. One article may feature the star of the game. Another may cover the quarterback's play. One may cover the running back's play. Yet a different article or a different sports commentator might highlight the decisions of the coaches and how they affected the outcome of the game. And so we think about it, multiple articles, multiple commentators, they give us the different aspects. They give us the different view and the different viewpoints of the game. And so it's in that same way, it's in that same vein, we have here in our Bibles four different reporters, for lack of a better term, that give us what we call the Gospels. And each of the Gospel writers give us a very different emphasis upon Jesus and who Jesus is. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew presents Jesus as king. And Matthew majors upon the coming king and his kingdom. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the servant. And so he majors upon the coming king as the servant of God to man. The Gospel of Luke presents for us Jesus as the Son of Man. And so Luke majors upon the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and that fact that he indeed became a man, born in a manger, gave up his heavenly deity, and came this sinful old world. Where we are this morning in the Gospel of John presents to us Jesus as the Son of God. And John majors upon the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Now it's very important for you to note and very important for you to know that as we think about biographies, that the gospel accounts in and of themselves, they are not a biography of the life of Christ. A biography, as you think about it, is the history of one's life. And so if the intent of the gospels was to give us a biography of Jesus's life, then they have failed spectacularly because they did not present to us a full history of Jesus' life. I mean, just look there, if you would, at verse 30 there in John chapter 20. Again, we see what the Bible here tells us. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples," and notice what it says, "which are not written in this book." And so there are many things this morning that Jesus did that we don't even have record of in the Bible. There's another passage of scripture in John, and I didn't write it down, but there's a passage that says if all the miracles and everything, if everything Jesus did, if it was written down, there would not be enough books in the world to contain everything that Jesus did. And so, if the Gospels then are not a biography, then we must attempt to try and understand what they are. And so this morning we find that a gospel is just simply the telling of the story of Jesus in such a way that the unique significance of his person and work impacts the reader enabling us to meet Jesus for ourselves and be guided in following him. And you notice there, verse number 31, the Bible says, but these are written. So everything that is here in the Gospel of John and in the Gospels, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So we have the Gospels this morning for one purpose and one purpose alone. And that is to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And not only that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, but that believing ye might have a life through his name, because there is no other name given under heaven whereby ye must be saved, but through the name of Jesus. And so we see this morning, Jesus is the unique Son of God. He is separate. He is apart. Simply put, in the paragraphs of John's Gospel, the living Lord Jesus Christ is met in his glory and his grace, his majesty and tenderness, and his presence can be experienced as a reality in your life. You see, this morning, the concept of Jesus, the concept of God, is not some faraway concept. It's not some type of fairy tale that we just attain to or that we just aspire to, that we just long for and we can never reach. No, this morning, Jesus is a reality that can be reached. The possession of Jesus is a reality that, if you will let it, can change your life. And so this morning, we know, as we think about Jesus being a reality, we know this morning that Jesus is a historical reality. History proves that there is a man who lived whose name was Jesus. It's without denial. No one can deny that this morning. To deny it is to deny history. But the Gospels are not intended to prove his existence. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not there to prove his existence. Because his presence in history already proves his existence. His presence in history of necessity has to be acknowledged even if there were no Gospels as we know them. And so if there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, history tells us that Jesus existed. History tells us that Jesus was real. You cannot deny his existence and impact on humanity. He still would have found his place in history because no other man lived as Jesus lived. But without the Gospels, we would only know about him in history. That's all we would know. That's all we would have. However, it's with the Gospels that give us the opportunity to know him and to experience him as a reality in our lives. And you know, this morning, there's a vast difference between knowing Jesus intellectually and knowing him in reality. Because we say it all the time, a lot of people know about Jesus in the head, but they don't know about him in the heart. And a lot of people, they are going to die and they are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. The difference between the head and the heart. And eventually, at some point in your life, you have to get Jesus moved from your head to your heart. It has to happen. Because if he does not live in your heart, then all he is an historical figure with no reality in your life. Many people this morning can say that they met Jesus through the Gospels and that he has transformed their lives completely. He no doubt this morning makes a difference in how we live our whole lives. But we need to not only know about him, we need to know him. We think about Jesus this morning. And we think about the gospel accounts this morning. And John in particular, John is very much a target of critics of the Bible, of people who try to disprove the Bible. But as we think about the Gospel of John and it being such a staple of our spiritual diet, what could possibly cause controversy? Well, as we look at and we read the Gospel of John, you'll find that John is particularly criticized because his record is very different from the other three Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are what are known as the Synoptic Gospels. John is completely different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You can read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you can see a similar thread. In John, John is very different. For example, John skips Bethlehem completely. John does nothing to contribute to the Christmas spirit. Absolutely nothing. It appears that if it were up to John, there wouldn't ever be Christmas plays. There wouldn't be songs of Bethlehem. There wouldn't be shepherds. There wouldn't be a nativity scene. And something that really irks me, there wouldn't even be a Christmas tree, because it's not mentioned. You will not find the account of the birth of Christ anywhere in the Gospel of John. Looking further, while the other writers gave accounts of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, where most of his teaching and his preaching and miracle ministry were performed, John does not go to Galilee. John stays in Judea. John's record is primarily of Jesus' ministry in and around Jerusalem at the time of the feast days of the Jews, with only a few exceptions. And so, by the time John writes his gospel, he's an old man. He's older in life. Some believe that the Gospel of John was written as late as 60 years after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes with his recall and by help of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said he would call all things to the apostles' remembrance. Look, if you would, John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14, and notice there, if you would, verse number 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26, the Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And so here in the Gospel of John, John is recalling his years with Jesus, whom he knew was alive, and whom he still loved, and who he still served. And so he gives for us the record. And here in our text this morning, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John gives to us the reason why he wrote the book. The reason why he writes the book of John. And he gives us the method he used to communicate the message of Jesus, the Son of God. Notice there again, verse 30 of John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 30. The Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So the very first thing John considers for us is the signs he saw from Jesus. You see, John was an eyewitness. He was present. He was there with Jesus' earthly ministry, and he was an eyewitness when Peter said of Jesus at Pentecost, Acts 2:22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. And so, John here in John chapter 20, he is considering the signs of Jesus. The miracles and wonders of Jesus' ministry were signs of his claim to be the Messiah, the Son of God. That's why he did miracles, to prove who he said he was. You think of it this morning, turning water into wine, the healing of the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, the opening of blind eyes, the raising of Lazarus. These were all signs that pointed to his messiahship. Now, John here did not write down all these signs, but in verse 31, he says, "But these are written." But these are written. And so a sign this morning, as we think about it, is meant to prove something, right? You see a stop sign, what's that mean? Stop. You see a yield sign, what's it mean? Yield. Signs mean something. They're there to prove something. Speed limit, 25. What's that there to prove? How fast you can go over 25. But John saw the miracles of Jesus, and he would record just a select few, just a small sampling size to prove something. As we think this morning about the signs of Jesus, they were given for the purpose of convincing. Verse 31, "But these are written that ye might believe." You say, what is it that men should be convinced? Simple, that Jesus is the Christ. And you notice here, John used his human name. He used his human name, Jesus, more than any other gospel. John kept it before us because he, Jesus, is man. But not only is he man, but Jesus is the man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, is also the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Think of it this way. A man comes to a wedding and he publicly turns water into wine. The same man takes 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and feeds 5,000. By the way, that 5,000 was just counting the men. That was not counting the women. That was not counting the children. That 5,000 was just the men. And not only did he feed them with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, the Bible tells us that he had 12 basketfuls left over. He heals a 38-year-old with infirmity. He opens blind eyes that had been blind from birth. That same man takes Lazarus, dead for 4 days, and raises him to life in front of everyone. Now, after a while, maybe don't you suppose that this man just might be something more than just a man? You see, even his most hateful critics should begin to realize that Jesus was not just a man. You see, this morning, John wanted us to know that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah of Israel. Yes, this morning, he is a man. He was a man, but he is and was more than a man. He is the God-man. And so it's meant to convince. And if we believe this, then believing these things ought to bring about a spiritual life. Notice the verse 31 again. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And notice what it says. And that believing ye might have life through his name. So again, this life implies more than an intellectual believing. It takes more than intellectual convincing. It means a voluntarily surrendered to the things of which the mind is convinced. You see, this morning, it's not simply just enough to believe in the historical Jesus, although we must believe in the historical Jesus. But there must be a surrender. And it's a choice to his messiahship. And this morning, until you submit your heart and until you submit your soul to what your mind believes, it is not true belief unto eternal life. Because it's only an intellectual exercise. And listen, you can be the smartest person in the world. But being the smartest person in the world, you can have all the answers about the historical Jesus that you want to, but having an intellectual knowledge of him will not get you to heaven. Only having that personal relationship with him will get you to heaven. John 3:16, the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, this morning, the result of believing is life. You see, death is the result of sin. And the Bible tells us all have sinned. But when I believed in Jesus for salvation, and when you believed in Jesus for salvation, you received a life that would no longer be affected by sin, because you received his life. And I received his life. John 11:26, Jesus says this, "And whosoever believeth in me shall never die." Now you see, this morning we have, by believing in Jesus, entered a life that has no antithesis. It has no alternative. And that is eternal life. And so this morning, as we think about the purpose of John's gospel, here it is, simple and straightforward and to the point. The purpose of John's gospel was to convince each of us to enter into eternal life through the Son of God. And with its 21 chapters of his gospel, John says, Jesus is the Son of God, and these signs prove it. Believe in him. This morning, the same man that turned water into wine, the same man that took 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, fed 5,000 and had enough left over for days, the same man that healed the 38-year-old infirmity, the same man that opened blind eyes, the same man that raised people from the dead, the same man that went to the lady at the well and said, "Go and sin no more," the same man that as the crowd was thronging him, the lady who said, "If she can just touch the hem of his garment with the issue of blood," that same man that changed all of those people's lives, if you will give your heart to him, he will change your life. Folks, this morning, where would we be without Jesus this morning? Where would we be without God this morning? Where would we be without him this morning? This morning, Jesus is the Son of God. Believe on him and have eternal life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.